Let's just say amen.
Amen.
Let's just say amen again.
Amen.
They're ready to say amen. Amen. I sing because I'm happy.
Yeah.
I sing because I'm
happy. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
I say it, I'm on the spell.
That's right.
And I know he watches me.
Glory.
Some of y'all get this too young to know anything about that. I grew up on that type of thing.
Yeah.
I sing because I'm happy.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Not because someone told me to sing or someone making me sing, but when I look back over my life and see where God brought me.
Yes, sir. Thank you,
God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, everybody, will turn with me to Genesis, the 32nd chapter. Genesis 32. Genesis 32, we'll begin our reading at the 22nd verse. While you're getting that, giving unto God the Father, to Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit who is present with us, to our Master of Ceremony, our own Reverend Smith, to my fellow sufferers in the gospel, to our pastor who is out. He's out sick today. You may not know that. He's on sick leave.
Yes, sir. Right.
Amen. He's on sick leave. And to Sister Singer, to all the officials here, to the deacons, to the deaconess trustees, to wonderful choir, amen, the director, the musicians, each of you guys' children, to my lovely wife, 27 years. I tell you,
bless you.
I cannot say enough about her and thank her enough. I am blessed and highly favored.
Yes,
amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. If you have it in your Bible, Genesis 32, the 22nd verse, and I'll be reading to you from the King James Version. And he arose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over Port Jabbok. Don't you remember that? And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except you bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou doest ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up on him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat no more of sinew with shame, which is upon the hollow of the thigh until this day. Because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of that shank. Would you bow your head and pray with me? God, we thank you for just being God and God all by yourself. I'm a messenger, Lord, standing in need of your word. What you said in your word, you would send forth your word into the earth, would not return to you, Lord. I want to thank you in advance for your word going forward and for your word accomplishing the end that you desire. Open up our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand.
Yes, God.
And I ask you, Lord, that you hide me so deep within the crest of the cross and behind it, until none of me is seen, but only you. And you get the glory. We need your word today, Lord Jesus. This is our prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, we have some accountants in the house. How many accountants do we have in the house? Let me see. Where is there? Any accountants? Sugar Sister Young will raise her hand when she's doing accounting stuff. And I don't see Ron here. Amen, amen. But accountants, we have an accounting a thing called FIFO and LIFO. But today we're going to talk about VIVO. V-I-V-O. That is victim in, victor out. VIVO, victim in, victor out. Turn to say neighbors and neighbor.
Neighbor.
Or neighbor.
Or neighbor.
I want to be a victim in, but a victor out. Now, I could have very well, I was wrestling with this topic of what to give this a topic. And I engaged RJ and Sheila And we tried to come up with something that was working. I was wrestling with it. I thought maybe I would do WWF. And that would be, wrestling with fate.
Yes, sir.
But then I thought that doesn't capture it all. But there is, I want to get you from being a victim to being a victor.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So you're going to go in. We're going to see how one goes in a victim, mm-hmm. but comes out victor. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to know about that?
Yeah.
See, I want to establish the fact that, first of all, I suspect that everybody here has been or is a victim.
Come on, preacher. Come on.
Did I miss anybody?
No.
If not, I'm going to show you. Raise your hand. If you've never been, I want to see you because I want to see what that looks like. And show everybody else what that looks like. Let me also recognize our young folk. Amen. We got a lot of young folks in the house. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I see young people ain't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Just so good to see you. Amen. And see you all. Amen. It's good to be here. Victim in, victim out. All of us at one time or another have been through something. But here's the thing. God has a way of looking not at where we are, but at who we are. God has a way of not looking at our beginning, looking at our ending.
Come on.
And see, we may be at a point of being a victim, but God has already established the fact that we are victors.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Did y'all hear what I said? If you are a child of God, you are victorious.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Did y'all hear what I say?
Mm-hmm.
I want y'all to see this because you need to understand that where we've already been positioned as a church is we are victorious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it seems to me that what happens too often, we find ourselves in a victim state. Always going through, never quite getting to it. Always, woe is me. I'm always the one that seems to be getting the short end of the stick, pulling the short straw, going through more than anybody. Come on, somebody. But we need to understand that no matter what you're going through, God has already established the fact that you are a victor.
Amen.
No matter how it looks, how dark it may be, God has already established the fact that the sun is going to shine.
Yes,
because weeping may endure for a night,
but joy cometh
in the morning.
Yes,
we have a story this morning of a young man who seemed to have spent his entire life as a victim. Anybody know the story about Jacob?
Right.
See, Jacob had an interesting beginning, but Jacob didn't even know that even at the beginning, his end had been established.
That's right.
Let me read you something. If you go to the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter, you'll see where this young lady, Rebecca, who was barren, who now had children, and she had twins, Esau and Jacob. Yeah. But before she had children, while they were in their room, they were fighting in the womb.
That's right.
Jacob was a fighter.
That's right.
Even before he got here.
Yes, sir.
See, I'm a twin, and I know it ain't but a whole little bit of space in the place. So here they were already fighting before they got out. And so they were fighting so much so that Rebecca had to inquire of the Lord, why is this happening to me? Read your Bible, 25th chapter of Genesis. She said, why is this happening? And then the Lord told her, there are some children that are struggling in your womb because there are two nations in your womb. I got two kings in your womb. And they're not going to see eye to eye. Whole lot of testosterone in one place. See, that's why when my boys grew up, they got to get out of my house. So there can't be one king in this kingdom. I'm just saying. Because you get all that. People get confused. So they're wrestling in the womb. And the younger son, the Bible said in the 23rd chapter of the 25th chapter, he said, the two nations are in thy womb. Two men of the people shall be separated from thy bowels. And one people shall be stronger than the other people. Get this. And the elder shall serve the younger.
All right. Amen. Preach it.
The elder shall serve the younger.
That's right.
Esau came out first.
All right.
But when he came out, Jacob had his hand on his heel.
That's right.
Like he was trying to pull him back in he could come out first himself.
Yeah.
Jacob wanted to be first, not understanding he's trying to take a place that's already been given to him. So he's fighting for what God. Come on, somebody.
All right.
You fighting for what God has already given you, you're going to mess it up because you're trying to do it your own way.
Yeah.
So Jacob goes through his life fighting, trying to get a position that God has already given him.
Yeah. All right.
let me bail myself out. So he comes out first. He has his hand on his brother's heel, trying to pull him back in so he can be the first one born.
Come on, come on.
Not knowing that if he had been the first one born, then he would have to serve his brother.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, y'all know story of Jacob. Right? Okay, now here, let me show you something about Jacob. Jacob, he's a victim, so he's got the boy. They named the boy Jacob. Jacob, cheater, deceiver, liar. They named him. So you can imagine when somebody calls him, come here, liar. Come on now.
Come on.
Come on, cheat. You imagine going through your life with somebody named like Jacob?
Jacob. Right.
Somebody calling you cheater, calling you a deceiver, because see, back in the day, back in the Old Testament time, a name meant something.
That's right.
We didn't know our kids anything, paprika. Nowadays, but back in Old Testament days, a name meant something. So when he named him Jacob, Jacob was basically an indication of the person's character. So here he is living out his name in his life, fighting and struggling and deceiving all the time. So the first realist that takes place, his brother Esau comes in from the field and he's starving to death. He's about famous, and Jacob's in there fixing soup, but he was mama boy. That's what the Bible said. I'm just telling you what the book said. He found himself. He's in there fixing soup, and Jacob comes in starving. He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll sell you some of this soup if you give me your birthright."
Right.
See, he's still trying to be the first.
All right.
So Esau figured, if I'm dead, the birthright ain't gonna matter anyway. So here, you can have it. Now that's one part of the cheat's work. But then here comes part two. We find later on in life when his father is about to die, Isaac is about to die. He says, "I need to bless my eldest son.
Come on, sir.
So I need to give him a pass on the blessing so that he can receive the blessings of all of this becomes his." Well, now here goes Jacob again. And his mama.
And his mama.
I told you he was mama's boy.
All right.
My mama was in on some of this too, so she said, you go get, I don't wear, I fit. She picks him up in clothes, makes him look like his brother. And he goes in, sneaks in. It wasn't enough that he had the birthright, but then he had to steal the blessing too.
All right.
So the father blesses Jacob.
That's right.
Instead of Esau. Mm-hmm. Well, when Esau got word, and then Isaac figured out, Esau said, "I tell you what, I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna wait till the father's die. But as soon as my father died, I'm gonna kill him." Well, the mama heard about what was gonna happen. So the mama convinced the daddy, and then convinced the son that maybe you need to get out of town and go and spend some time with my brother Laban.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And pick your wife that's of our kind, and you know, live life, and then until Esau cools off. And then you can come back. So it makes a little sense to me, because if he had stayed around that house, as soon as the father died, then he was going to die.
All right.
So he goes off and he leaves. Now I want you to see what happened. He's got to leave. So here he is all this time being a trickster, living up to his name, trying to get in first place. You ever been on Jacob Street?
All
right. Trying to get stuff the wrong way.
Yeah.
Trying to trick your way into trying to bring somebody else down in order to bring yourself up. Trying to be somebody else that you're not. Trying to dress like somebody, talk like somebody, be somebody. You trying to play that Christian thing?
Preaching.
He said he tried, but then he found himself now on the run. He's headed now to Haran to go spend some time with his uncle Laban. But on his way to Haran, in the 28th chapter, we find that night began to fall, and he's out, and he falls asleep.
Mm-hmm.
He has a dream.
Yeah.
And in this place, he sees angels coming from heaven down to the earth. And see, the Lord began to speak to him and to tell him what he was going to receive, all the land and seas and the children, etc., etc. And he sees all of this, and then when he wakes up, he realizes, and he didn't know. He said, "I didn't know God was in this place." He said, "I'll name this place Bethel because God was here." So here he is in a place, and this is what he called it Bethel, because Bethel meant God's house. Y'all know what God's house is, right? So on his way to his destination at Laban, he went by the church.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing wrong with going by the church.
Right.
Nothing wrong by stopping by God's house.
That's all right.
On your way to your destination.
Yeah.
So he stopped by what a place called Bethel, where he called, and God's house. And God spoke to him and gave him a word in that place. But then he arrived at Laban. Now, I'm going to hurry through the story because Laban spent some time in doing some stuff. He found out that he wasn't the only one that had some tricks. I'm thinking that, you know, this must have been a relative because he acted, but he was the master of tricks. So first thing he did, he saw this young girl by the name of Rachel. Fell in love with Rachel.
Yes, sir.
Wanted to marry Rachel.
That's right.
He wanted to marry Rachel so bad that he agreed, now this is some love right here, he agreed to work for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Forget Steve Harvey's 90 days. This is serious.
Yes, sir.
He's going to do it for 7 years. He's willing to work to be able to get her hand in marriage.
Yes, sir.
All right. Laban agreed. Now, it's an odd thing that Laban would agree because customarily, you wouldn't give the youngest daughter before the oldest.
That's right.
Well, the marriage takes place 7 years later.
Mm-hmm.
7 years later, he gets married. Well, you know, it's a party, so it's a marriage party. He gets a little drunk that night before the party, mm-hmm. goes into bed and wakes up the next morning only to find out he didn't marry Rachel. But his father-in-law has now tricked him and put Leah, the oldest daughter, in the marriage.
All right.
Amen. Preach.
Yeah, well, how you think he felt? Probably like his brother felt. Like killing somebody, right? But he said he was still so much in love with Rachel that he said, I'll stay and work seven,
yes, sir.
Oh.
Seven more years.
Yes.
Now, he gave her Rachel right then, but then he worked 7 years to be able to keep her. So then 14 years, this
That's
man
right.
has been tricked by his in-law now, and he now has his two wives, which was old back. Don't y'all try to do that today, but back in the Old Testament, it was allowed. And so now he has his wife of his dream, but he doesn't have much. So his father-in-law commissions to stay for six more years, and he works and he gets cattle, and he gather up goods. And so now he has more than his in-law has. And now he's looking. I've learned something. He saw in Laban himself,
mm-hmm.
All right. and he realized that maybe it's time for a change.
All right.
So he started changing himself. Well, if you're gonna change, sometime it requires that you go back.
Yeah.
Home.
Yeah.
So he journeyed now. He decided it's time to go back home. He would have gone after 14 years, but he stayed and got some goods, and now he's a wealthy man on his way back to the house.
Mm-hmm. All right.
20 years ago, Jacob left home with nothing but the clothes on his back.
Yes, sir. All right.
Now he's headed home with flocks and by the thousands and sheep and herds and servants and 11 sons. Now he's headed back to the house, looking pretty good.
All right.
Well, you know, you would think that now, after 20 years, that he's no longer a victim, that now this man would have found who he was and discovered himself, and now he was a victor. I mean, he's married, got two wives now, who knows how many concubines, he got 11 kids on his side, all of these goods. You would think that now he's over himself.
Come on, come on.
But isn't it funny how time and distance doesn't solve everything?
Come on,
yes,
come on, come on.
See, you can run from you, but you can't hide.
All right.
You can run from yourself in your evil way, but eventually it's going to catch up. Come on,
yes,
somebody.
All right.
You may do it in the dark, but the Bible says it's going to come to the what?
Yes,
sometimes you got to go back. And on his way back, he still realizes he's still a victim.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacob decides, wait a minute now, I'm going to send messengers. I want to make sure everything is all right at the house. Surely after 20 years, everything should be fine. So he sent a messenger back to go in there and check with Esau to see if everything's all right. The messengers met Esau.
Mm-hmm.
Esau got excited that his brother was coming home. So he decided he would gather 400 men and go and get his brother so that he would have safe passage and nothing would happen. Mm-hmm. But the messenger got back to Jacob, and Jacob heard that Esau was on the way with 400 men. Now, what did that sound like to a victim? Don't seem like he's trying to come and help me at all. Seems like he got a problem. He still has a problem. Seems like he ain't got over nothing. Seems like he's had the same issue he had when I left the house. He's still mad.
Yes,
now, I've heard people have been mad for a long period of time for a whole lot less than what Jacob did. But here was Esau deciding to come for good to ensure that he had safe passage home. But this victim here by the name of Jacob is now looking at this good situation in a bad way. How many of us,
yes, sir,
as victim have seen that is good as bad?
All right,
come on.
Somebody trying to do you good.
Yeah.
But because you're a victim, You think they're trying to do you something
wrong.
Because your mindset is wrong. You think that everybody out to get you. Jacob was guilty, had a guilty conscience. He knew he deserved retribution. He was paranoid.
All right.
Come on, preacher. Right. Come on. Somebody got it. I always feel like somebody watching.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I thought I figured I'd catch the older group up. He was paranoid. No, he was caught up in his own world thinking that somebody was out to get him, but all Esau wanted to do was ensure he made the trip.
All right.
Mm-hmm. To the house.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean you at home. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to help you. Why you act like that?
All right.
I mean, you say you're saved. Why are you scared of everything?
Come on.
You say you know the Lord. Why is it you can't believe that God can do what he said?
Amen.
I mean, why is it that everybody out to get you? Why is it so bad for you? Well, if you have a victim's mentality, you will see things that way. A lot of us are guilty of that victim mentality.
Come on.
We can't see the good God is trying to do because we're so busy seeing the evil.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my Lord.
Outwardly, Jacob was prosperous, but inwardly, he was a troubled soul. Outwardly, he looked good.
Yes, sir.
But inwardly, he was tore up. Yeah. Jacob now finds himself at a place, and we're going to pick up our text now at Jabbok.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jabbok is a Hebrew term that means emptying or devastating. He finds himself at a place of devastation, devastated. Jacob finds himself at Jabbok just about time before he goes home, about to arrive home. He finds himself at a place where he's completely devastated in a place called devastation.
All right.
I mean, this is what you call hitting rock bottom.
Right.
This is where you call looking up to sea bottom. This is where you call I'm deeper than deep.
Yes,
this boy is in trouble. In the worst kind of way. Y'all see what I'm saying? But see, he finds himself at Jabbok, but then he had prayed to the Lord, stacked the deck, and while he was there at Jabbok, something happened in Jabbok. Nightfall comes. It's dark now.
Mm-hmm.
He sends his wife and family one way. Mm-hmm. He goes across the brook another way.
Mm-hmm.
And when he goes across the brook, I like this here, in verse number 24, pick up our verse, Jacob was left alone.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
That's the first thing we find.
Mm.
He's by himself. Church, we need to find time to be by ourselves.
Right.
My first point I want to make here today is if you're going to go from victim to victor, you got to find some time to be alone.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at how many people don't like to spend any time by themselves.
Come on.
If we're scared of young people, y'all know what to do. I mean, if we don't have somebody around, we got to have the phone. It's like I'm disconnected with life. Phone nowadays is like bloodline. It's like if my phone won't work, my blood is running warm in my veins. If my phone ain't working, my stuff is dying out. We got to learn how to spend some time by ourselves. We are afraid to be by ourselves. Always got to be in the company of somebody. Somebody wrote a book about we are lonelier now, but we have more crowds.
Right.
I mean, we're in the midst of people, but we're alone. We're sitting here in church, but we're not connected with anybody in the church.
Right.
We're in crowds, but we're not connected with anybody in the crowd. I'm in the number, but I'm just a number in the number.
Yeah.
Find some time to be alone, because when you get alone with God, you can get rid of all the veneer and all the facade.
Amen.
There's no need for you to impress or lie to anybody. When you're by yourself with God, you don't have to fake your funk. You don't have to try to be what you is. You can be what you is and not what you ain't. You don't have to worry about those skeletons getting out your closet. You know, you can say to God whatever you can tell him like a TIS. You don't have to worry about trying to set it up and say, see, I know how you do it. See, we get this communal prayer. We know the community prayer. We come around the altar and we pray. Say, well, what's wrong? And we say, well, you know, I got some, you know, family member that, you know, got some trouble. But I'm fine. It's already somebody else. Ain't never me. We said, come in there. You come in there. We all need to go to God today. And we're waiting for somebody to lead the track so that they won't look at me.
Come on. All right.
You know you need prayer.
Well,
But you won't do it till somebody else gets there.
Come on.
We always need to have somebody, but when you get alone by yourself with God, you can be authentic with God. Yeah. You don't have to be superficial. Your relationship doesn't have to be false. And stupid. You can have a real relationship with God and begin to tell God what's going on. When you're with God by yourself, you can hear his still small voice.
Yes,
and he can ask you some of those hard questions like, what is your name?
Yes, sir.
When you get along with God, you without human help, without any props of confidence or conceit or deceit for that matter, you can find out, you begin to tell the truth to God, and then God can set you free.
Amen. Amen.
We can't get free when we're busy trying to lie to the person who can free us.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
All right.
Come on.
Come on.
I ain't going to come down from here and go and stand on the altar come when on. They say, y'all get down, anybody who did anything wrong this week. Because y'all gonna look at me funny. Y'all gonna be asking yourself the question. Y'all got, ain't all in my business. You're asking yourself, well, what did he do? What's going on with him? God forbid you would come down with me. What's wrong with them? So y'all won't even let me be free.
Yeah.
But when I go to him by myself,
yeah.
I can tell him all by myself. Lord, here I am. Struggling, tore up. Just me. Here, all my skeletons. A skeleton, B skeleton, C skeleton, D.
I better stop because y'all realize I have so many.
When we buy ourselves with God, when you're alone, he has your undivided attention. Church, we need to find some time just to be alone with the Lord.
Amen.
Get some quiet time by yourself, not to take that. Dismiss with your schedule, make God your schedule, and just spend some time with just you and God. Church, we need to come to church, but we got to spend some time having church by ourselves.
Right.
If we spend time having church by ourselves, when do we come together for church, we can have some show up church. So Jacob, the first thing he did, he found himself in the dark. Alone and by himself.
Yeah.
Now look at what happens. You see what happens when you're alone by yourself. You're at your weakest state.
Yes, sir.
See, you don't have anybody to defend. You don't have somebody else's strength to defend. He's just his weakest state. And what happens in verse number, I love this story. In verse 24, there he is by himself. And there was a man that came and wrestled with him.
Yes, sir.
Until the breaking of day.
All right.
So while he's by himself, somebody jumped on him. I didn't tell you nothing gonna happen when you're by yourself. But while he's by himself, somebody jumped on him in the dark. Late at night. You can't even say hello to me in the dark. Late at night. Without getting jumped on. But he jumped on him in the dark and started to wrestle with him. And so he, well, if you're going to wrestle with me, I'm going to wrestle with you. So here it is, Jacob began to fight with this person. Some have suggested it was an angel. Some have said it's reincarnated Christ, a Christophany. Some said it's theophany. Some have said, well, it's just a presence of God. We don't know, but the key is it was somebody who represented God.
Amen.
And see, this person that represented God took the first attack. Jumped on Jacob.
Yes, sir.
And here they are. They're fighting now because now he had asked for God's help, but he didn't expect he was going to get God's help this way.
All right.
Because sometimes you're asking for it one way, and God gives it to you a way you're not quite expecting it.
Right.
See, Tyler, when he was a little bit young, you have to know how they react to things. But see, Tyler, when he was a little young, you could probably pretty much scare Sheila and scare RJ, you know, and pretty much get a reaction that way. But in Tyler's case, Tyler actually always came back this way. It came at you know what I mean? You scare him, he's coming in your direction. So you have to be ready to go the other way if you scare Tyler. I'm just saying. You got to know who you're trying to scare. So here it was, we found out that they're fighting now because now this person has jumped on him and he's battling with him because he wants to do him some good.
Yeah. All right.
You gotta know when someone's fighting with you and what their intentions are.
Yes.
All the time, just because people don't agree with you doesn't mean that they don't have your best interest at heart.
That's right. That's right.
We got too many yes people in our lives.
Yes,
we got too many people telling us what we want to hear and not what we need to hear. But we find here that God initiated the struggle with him, and all of a sudden, this man who is a victim, God is trying. trying to change him from his victim state to a victor state, but he's battling with God, and he's losing the battle, but not exactly, because it says, the Bible says in our verse, he said, but he prevailed not against him. This man that attacked Jacob was not winning the fight. I mean, it's a bad thing when you jump, you start something, and you can't finish something. I always measure mine up, you know what I mean? Young folks got to say, you know, I ain't going to win that one. That's not the one I'm going to win. I can get that one. I'm going to get that one right there. You know, you got to have to get that one by surprise. You can't, all of them, you can't go front on, you know what I mean? So he measured it. Find out he could not prevail, but then there was really something special about this person, because truth be told, he really could win. But he was fighting him to teach him something.
I used to
wrestle with my boys when they were little, and I could beat them, but I didn't beat them. You know, I just worked with them because I was trying to teach him something. So here this man is wrestling with him, and he's, because he's trying to teach him something, and he's fighting thinking he's winning. Ain't nothing wrong. You know, it's the worst thing in the world when you find somebody, you giving them a hands up, you got your hand on the head like this, holding them out. Y'all know that one? Hold their hand like that. They still coming in. Now they're getting angry and angry at you. And then you know, they're fighting, they're getting angry, they're crying now and getting mad, and you just chilling. Huh? he didn't rebel because he didn't want to, but then he decided, wait a minute, it's about to be daybreak. I need to get out of here. So he touched him in his thigh. If anybody can knock your thigh out of joint with a touch, you better know that ain't somebody you want to be messing with. I think at that point, Jacob began to understand something, that the person he was wrestling with, at first he was fighting on the defensive because he was trying to win a fight, because he was trying to beat this man down. But then he realized, wait a minute, if he can do that, I know I can't win, but maybe he can do something for me. So the man said, let me go. So that all of a sudden the story changed. He said, let me go. Wait a minute, what do you mean let me go? Let me go. He said, let me go. I got to go. He said, let me go. And what did Jacob say? Yeah, I won't let you go. Second thing you got to do when you're in the fight for your life is hold on to God. Don't let him go. Whatever you do, don't let him go. Don't let him go. Until he blesses you. He said, I can't fight him anymore, but I can hold. Now see, he said he was still resting while he had a broken hip, but then he was just holding on. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Hold on to God until you receive from God what God has for you. Daybreak is coming. And God wants to do something for you, but you got to hold on long enough to get what God has in store. Some of you got your hip knocked out of joint, and you gave up immediately.
Come on, preacher. Come on.
Fight ain't over yet. If all you have is just a little prayer, Lord, help me, use that. If all you have is just a little bit of strength, hold on to that. But hold on to God until he blesses you. Man's extremity is God's opportunity.
Yes,
God wants to do it for you, but you're giving up too soon.
All right.
Y'all with me now?
All right.
So here we go. And so here we shift one last verse. Verse number 27 to 29. He says to him, I'm going to bless you, but I need to ask you something. What is your name?
All right.
Now, wait a minute. To me and you, that seems like a simple thing. Say, what's your name? Ricky. Well, I mean, Ricky means keeper of the bank. I don't mind saying that. That sounds pretty good, actually. Got any bank? I'll keep it for you. Well, it seemed like an easy thing to ask this man, Jacob, what's his name, because he's had this name all his life.
That's right.
I mean, but the problem is that this name that he had was trickster, deceitful. Liar. And I would imagine he lived up to that name. So here it is, a man of God. He sees him now as a person represented from God, is now asking him his name. And so instead of him, like the last time, you remember the last time we met him, we asked his name. His father asked him, what's your name? He said, my name is Esau, your eldest son. But this time, he's asking the question, wondering what type of answer he's going. The man didn't ask it because he didn't know his name.
All right.
That's right.
He knew his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He knew his character.
Yeah.
But what he was asking is, are you willing to let go of your name?
Come on.
Are you willing to be truthful about who you are? Are you willing to come face to face with yourself and say your name is Jacob with the intent of being changed?
Yes, sir.
He said, my name is Jacob. Mm-hmm. That's a game changer for some of you. Okay. You understand when all of a sudden when you come face to face with yourself,
yes, sir,
and willing to acknowledge that, wait a minute, I'm not the facade that I've been putting on. But I'm actually Ricky, the person by himself, alone in the dark, that God knows better than anybody else.
Yes,
Lord, you know my name, but I'm going to tell you, it's Ricky Lane Jasper. That's a game changer.
Yes, sir.
Because now, Ricky Lane Jasper, mm-hmm, I can do something with you. Now, Ricky Lane Jasper, I can bless you.
Yeah.
Now, Jacob, the deceitful, the liar, the stealer, the wrestler, the cheater, I can change you because now you have accepted who you are and you are tired of yourself. Until you get tired of yourself. It's hard for God to do anything for you. So he said, let go. See, what happened was, and this, the last thing that he did, he let go. He held on to God, but he let go of himself. You got to let go of yourself. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter how you got here. It doesn't matter what you used to do and how you used to do it and who you did it to. The key is, are you willing to let it go and let God have his way? I know you lied. I know you cheated. I know you stole. I know you hurt somebody. I know you did everything that you were big enough to do that was wrong. I know you were homemonging. I know you were out there doing things that you shouldn't be doing. But what I do know is, if you're willing to let go and let God, God can take you from a victim state to being victorious. I wonder today, look, anybody here who wants to be victorious? If you want to be victorious, can you spend some time alone? Can you take some time by yourself and just talk to God about it? Don't tell me your problem. Don't try to sell me on how good you are or how bad you are. Just spend some time with the Lord. And then if you would, if you're going through something, hold on to God. I know you may not understand it, but God has your good in mind. And so you just hold on to God. But the last thing I need to do is just let go. Let go of yourself. Let go of your situation. Let go of your lives. Let go of your past. And let God fix your future. You're not by yourself. There was a man by the name of Jesus. Y'all know this man. He found himself alone. He was in the garden. I heard him say, Father, remove this cup from me. Not in my will, Lord, but thy will be done. I'm all by myself, Lord. I can't go. He said, Father, I want you to know, I know you're sitting in here to do this, but I'm here, Father, by myself. Y'all remember that prayer. He prayed so hard. He prayed so long. That blood, his sweat came out like blood from his body. He said, Father, I just need you to know, I don't know if I can handle this. I know you told me why I came down here. But Father, if you don't mind, take the cup from me. But then he looked in the cup. He saw my sin. He saw your sin. He saw all the sin of the world. But then he looked at the cup. Then I said, what was in the cup? Then nobody would be saved. He said, but Father, not at my will, but thy will be done. Is that enough? No. I found him a little bit further. He was holding on. How you know he was holding on? They mocked him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Hung him on the cross. I heard him say, Father, forgive them. But they know not what they're doing. I heard him say, man, behold your mother. I heard him say, I'm here, Lord. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm just holding on. But then that wasn't enough, Church. He let go some things. I heard him cry a little bit later. It's finished. It's finished. Father, into thy hand, I commend my spirit. Father, it's finished. I'm letting go. I'm giving it to you. I've done what you told me to do. Went down in the grave. Stayed all day crying. All day shouting.
Victorious.
All power.
All power.
You want to be a victor. You want to be yourself. You ain't even time by yourself.